Welcome to the Hollywood Outsider, an award-winning weekly entertainment podcast. In this episode, it's time for a fall TV preview. Let's get on with the show. My name's Aaron Peterson. Joining me today are my fellow host, John Davenport.
You know, I feel like we're a little light today.
I have been working out. Thanks for noticing. Trey Heinrichs.
I know I've been working out. I got comments on my pecs the other day.
What?
This was not necessary to go in that direction in any way. He's making stories up, I guess. I don't know. He's just telling a tale.
It's been I just need to make sure that the breasts were represented, you know?
What?
We're light on those.
Wow. Amanda Sink will not be here this week. I don't know how to, whatever Troy just said had nothing to do with John or I. So when you write your letter, it's Troy at thehollywoodoutsider.com. We have nothing to do with it.
Troy's just trying to do all the heavy lifting right now.
Oh my God. No, Amanda won't be here for the next, two shows, just so you know, due to a scheduling conflict. That's right. Cause we're here. We can handle it, right, guys?
Yeah. Well, we made the bet where she had to show up, what was it, 4 weeks in a row? So she thought now she could just take 4 weeks off.
Remember, you can always find more information at thehollywoodoutsider.com. Join our Facebook group or we're on Twitter at @BuyPopcorn. Share your thoughts in this episode however you like on those social media outlets, or you can leave a voicemail at 818-814-6246. Hey, I got a... questions. We're going to be talking about TV. It's a whole episode. We're going to talk about TV because, believe it or not, even though everyone's on strike, it's wild how much TV there is still, and movies there are still, which we'll talk about next week. There's a lot of content coming, and we're talking fall all the way through the end of the year, so it's really the remainder of the year TV. Are either of you surprised that we have this much content still to go through?
I'm sorry.
See? People listening don't get the joke, but just before we started, basically John's giving Troy the riot act for cutting him off all the time, and then Troy generously pointed at him like, hey, go, man, it's yours, take the floor, and he's got nothing.
I'm just kind of floored that he did that. I was about to start talking and I went, nope, Troy's here, and then he points at me. I am wildly shocked by how much stuff there is. And not only is it just like stuff, but there is a lot of quality.
It's a lot of good stuff coming.
Yeah.
The only reason we have this much stuff is because it's John's fault. John said, hey, this is great. I can catch up on all the stuff that I needed to catch up on. And they just kept throwing more and just kept throwing more to piss John off.
Yeah, you know what? I was just talking to somebody else about this. Anytime I like something or I have a good idea, the world just goes up against me on it.
Okay, can we just say, I don't think it's a good idea, Drew Barrymore. I don't necessarily think it's a good idea. I just think that Troy gets that joke. It's a convenient for your lifestyle idea.
No, I mean,
it's not a good idea that people strike and then people are out there fighting for equality. Fair pay and
it is a good idea for them to be out there. Well, they need to be out there.
It's not a good idea to connect line. That with the content. Now I can finally catch up. That's not a good idea.
No, that's my lifestyle. My lifestyle is taking advantage of those people having their good idea.
Is that how it works?
I don't even know how it works. I'm like a vulture. I just sit there and wait for the corpse to just pick the bones and everything.
Look, and yes, there's a lot of content that's still coming up for the fall. However, I have it on good authority from a friend of ours that we met through the Blacklist that the show that they are working on only had 7 episodes in the can. So just because there's a new show doesn't mean it's going to be all 22 episodes for you to watch or all 10 episodes. You might get 3, you might get 5, you might get 8. So you just have to, your mileage may vary as the fall comes along.
Can you tell your friend to only do like a 10 episode show as opposed to 22?
He's not the EP. He's just the editor.
Oh, I thought you were like
That's okay. a different friend. That's a different friend.
He ain't got nothing then. All right, I got it.
No, we got that friend too. All right, let's move on to the the fall TV season. He can't really talk about his stuff right now because he's a writer. You know what I'm saying? He's part of it.
Right. Well, that's right, because he's on strike. And I am supporting him in his need to make sure that the industry takes care of his people.
Good.
Power to the people.
I firmly
Shaka Khan.
Kind of believe you. All right.
We won't go. Hell no, we won't go.
Can we go on? Can we just move forward? That'd be all I want to do.
What are we watching?
We're going to talk about the TV that's coming up for the rest of the year.
All the TV that we're going to have a time for right
all
now?
All stuff that we're interested in or that we think is interesting. And actually, we did get Amanda's picks because we didn't want to leave people hanging from some ideas. So we're going to do those first just to get them out of the way.
I just want to clarify for the audience here that these are not the five things that we're the most interested in. These are the five things that were left available for me to talk about after everybody else picked. So just because I'm mentioning these five shows, it's to give you all, the listeners, five additional things to think about. They're not the five things that I would necessarily be watching.
Oh, you would be watching the
Aaron
stuff
had
that you
three
have
of them already.
Do you, what kind of sales pitch is this? I don't understand what you're doing. Like, your sales pitch is, want to engage people to listen to the podcast, not tell them, don't bother when I talk. That's really not a good
I was just correcting
point.
Your statement. You said these are the things that we're interested in, and it's like, I'm not interested in the five that I picked. I just did it for the fans.
I said that are interesting. I corrected myself. I didn't need to be mansplained.
Well, it's like Troy is sitting there going, I am not this bunch of a nerd, but he is.
You might be surprised with one of my picks, because I may be that much of a nerd.
Well, let's talk about Amanda's first. Okay, so we each picked five new TV shows to talk about, and with a title, description, what network it's on, and the premiere date, just so you know. And we're going to discuss each person's full five at their turn. We're going to start with Amanda because she couldn't make it, and it's very last minute. So, but the first one she has, the trailer came out today or yesterday. I don't remember when it came out, but when you're hearing this, the trailer's out, so you can go find it. But The Fall of the House of Usher, Netflix, October 12th. To secure their fortune and future, two ruthless siblings build a family dynasty that begins to crumble when their heirs mysteriously die one by one. And this is Mike Flanagan's last Netflix series because he's going over to Amazon Prime. And I think we're all pretty excited for this, right? This is from The House on Haunted Hill, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera.
One by one.
Mm-hmm. That one.
Yeah, no, I'm super excited for this one. This is would be definitely on my list if I was paying attention to how lists work and how people and time work. So, yeah.
Do you want to talk about that? Do you want to explain context or just say no and just let the audience try to guess?
I'll just let them try to guess.
Okay. We'll explain at the end. That'll keep you tantalized and keep going.
Right, because we have nothing else interesting to give them today.
Well, we don't have five shows that Troy wants to watch. We only have the shows that, you know, that he apparently kind of likes. I don't really know what his sales pitch is.
He's going to be watching a lot of NBC with the rest of the old people.
I am. It's sad. Because one network that I don't watch that I'm not even interested in is, actually, I have my TiVo. I found it in the basement when I was cleaning this weekend.
That's sad.
And it was sad to throw it away. I cried a little inside.
What was there? You started to say something and going
Netflix
down a rabbit
hole. Netflix is dead to me. There's like nothing on Netflix that I'm interested in.
I literally just told you The Fall of the House of Usher is on Netflix, and that sounds awesome.
You also said it's related to House of Haunted Hill, and I was like, I haven't seen that one either because I don't like horror stuff.
Or is it Haunting of Hill House? The Haunting of Hill House.
See, I don't even know the name of the show because it's on a network.
I said it wrong. I said it incorrectly. And someone was screaming at the radio while they were driving or jogging, and they ran into a tree while they were jogging, not driving. That's dangerous.
I'm pretty sure somebody was running from a Sasquatch at that moment.
That's very possible. Yeah, it happens. All right. Next up on her list, Living for the Dead. It comes to Hulu October 18th. Five queer ghost hunters crisscross. I didn't write this. This is Amanda. Five queer ghost hunters crisscross the country, helping the living by healing the dead. As they explore some of the world's most infamous haunted locations, they shed light on those not seen and illuminate untold stories. That actually sounds pretty cool. Pretty interesting. Yeah, pretty cool. I don't like to use cool as a disclaimer, as a descriptor, because everybody uses it for everything. But it sounds intriguing.
So it's ghost hunters trying to play off Night of the Living Dead for fun, and then they add in the queer factor to be cool.
or to be diverse.
Yeah.
Nothing says hunting ghosts like...
And that is coming right out of the podcast, so thanks for that.
Jesus Christ.
Good job. Good job. All right. Fellow travelers, Paramount Plus with Showtime. So really, it's Showtime. On October 29th, follows the lives and volatile romance of two different men through purges, wars, protests, and plagues, overcoming obstacles in the world. I don't know about this one. I know she's intrigued by it. I would have liked to have heard a little bit more as to why, but I don't really have much to add on that one.
That one I would watch because I did see some of the stuff on that, watching all Star Trek and Paramount Plus and Yellow Jackets and all that.
Mm-hmm.
So anything that's got over time and how you're actually going to come together in a relationship, I think that's interesting things to explore from a sexual thing, because they have sexual connotations between the two of them. But from a romance perspective, I think it's definitely interesting, especially because it's going through one of the darkest periods in the 20th century in American history.
All right. Now you sold me. All the Light We Cannot See, Netflix, again, November 3rd, a French blind girl and a young German soldier's paths collide during World War II. John, you wanted to talk about this one too, so why are you intrigued by this one?
Yeah, I just, for some reason, I found the story to be a beautiful one. It's World War II, which has its, for whatever reason, I enjoy stories about World War II. And there's a connotation that this German soldier is, kind of decides he doesn't want to be one of those things anymore. So there's just a lot of transformation that seems to be happening, and it caught my eye when I was like doing my research for it.
All right. And lastly on Amanda's list, Echo, Disney Plus, November 29th. Maya Lopez's ruthless behavior in New York City catches up with her in her hometown. She must face her past, reconnect with her Native American roots, and embrace the meaning of family and community. Echo was a fun addition to Hawkeye, so I'm looking forward to checking that out. That's actually one Marvel show I will give a shot to, because the character kind of came out of nowhere and interested me, where I don't care about Loki or any of that, but that sounds intriguing. Like Loki season 2, I won't watch any of it, but I will watch Echo.
I just love his back and forth. Like, I don't want to do homework, I'm going to do homework. I don't want to do homework, I'm going to do homework.
I mean, that's true. But yeah, Echo was one from Marvel that I might give a chance to. That when it comes to the stuff from Marvel that I have enjoyed, there's a lot less that I've enjoyed than have enjoyed. I guess is I'm saying that completely backwards, but you get what I'm saying.
There's not much there that I've liked a lot.
Right.
Is that what you're saying?
Yeah, that's exactly what I was trying to say.
And honestly,
go ahead.
No, I was just going to say, honestly, I'm burned out on the universes. I'm really not even particular about what the universe is anymore. I'm burned out on universes. Just, I am tired of trying to have to watch everything to understand everything. It's not engaging if all of the material is not wonderful to begin with. Like Star Wars, I'm back on board with Ahsoka because that's really an intriguing Star Wars show, but I still have no desire to watch any other Star Wars show. Each one will have to win me over again just because they burned me out on the other Star Wars shows. And that's definitely where Marvel is right now. I am burned out on Marvel, not comic book heroes like everybody wants to think, like superheroes, people are burned out on them. No, I'm burned out on Marvel because it's the same stuff. Everything feels the same to me.
Yeah, I'm burnt out on the whole concept of having to do homework, which Choi was alluding to. I don't like the idea of when this whole thing was a concept way before, I didn't like the idea of having to have Disney Plus so that I can do homework just so I can stay caught up with the movies. And it hasn't paid out very well because a lot of the quality of what they've been throwing at us hasn't been necessarily the best. Book of Boba Fett, I knew that was going to suck before I even knew it was coming out. It was like a thought in the back of my mind that if they ever did that, Boba Fett was going to suck. And it did. Mandalorian was okay. It was okay. And then it was just barely okay. There's not a lot of things when it comes to the Star Wars universe stuff that I've really enjoyed. I'm loving Ahsoka. And I'm loving Ahsoka primarily because of it's got roots in some of the extended universe stuff that they're playing with, or the legacy or Legends or whatever it is they call the books now. But it's got some things to it that I really appreciate, and the characters new, and there was, it avoids that whole problem of no more Skywalkers kind of thing.
Yeah, and can I also add, you hated Boba Fett before you ever saw an inch of him. Before it had nothing to do with, I knew the show was going to suck. You hate the character. You've always hated the character. You complained about that character long before it ever became a show. As soon as it became a show, you railed against the show. So to be fair, did you ever expect to like any inch of it? No. There was no chance. That show would have had to be gold.
Yeah, when Boba Fett actually temporarily died back in 1983, we heard you all the way from Panama going, I can't believe Boba Fett is dead. Yes.
Right. I was so happy. I gotta say though, like when he showed up in Mandalorian and he was actually very cool in Mandalorian, that's what was like, all right, maybe I can give Boba Fett a chance. And I was right back to like, nope, he sucks.
Fair point.
It's George's fault because George actually added him into A New Hope when they re-released New Hope. That was the problem. Because he was so mysterious in Empire Strikes Back.
No, he just never did anything. All right, John, you're up. What five shows that you maybe be interested in? I don't even know anymore. But what shows did you find that are new, that are coming out, that people should be on the lookout for?
I think we should really word this better by saying, what five shows did I steal from you fuckers?
Yeah, that's basically what
exactly what it is.
Like, we have a, I'm going to explain the context because you keep bringing it up. We have a Google Doc where we're keeping track of who has what shows so we don't duplicate efforts. And we all go back and check the doc, you know, okay, all right, well, here's five because a couple of the ones I wanted, somebody else has, whatever. John goes and does it, takes, I don't know, four out of his five, we're already on the list. Puts them on, and he's like, hey, you guys, I don't know what, you did it wrong. I got nothing here. I did it perfectly right. Whatever you did was wrong.
And here's the thing. When I did my list, there were three shows that I was like, John will pick these three. And surprisingly, three of those are actually on your list. So I was being nice and letting you have those because we can't duplicate shows.
So on Sunday when I was doing I did the exact same thing because I opened up the doc on Sunday. Aaron wasn't there. Amanda wasn't there. We know that Troy wasn't there. And I opened up, I'm like, oh, this is great. I am beating everyone to the punch. And I made all my notes and I went and did all the research and I did a whole bunch of reading. And I was just feeling great because I was way ahead of the game. And I'm like, you know what, John? Good for you, man. You're really starting to like get back into the groove of living a life. And I was really happy and proud of myself. And I created a brand new logo for something. It was a good day. And then Aaron sends the message, hey, we don't have your shows. I'm like, what? All right. Well, I mean, let me figure out what the fuck happened. So I'm sitting there digging through everything, trying to figure out what happened. And then I finally find my notes because I'm at work and I just copy and paste everything into the old thing. He's like, you stole everyone's show. And I'm like,
cool. And can we just- instantly defensive.
I
accused him of stealing something, like really robbing people.
I got really upset because I'm like, I purposely did all this stuff and I thought I was doing it early. And yeah, that's why I got defensive. Anyhow, okay, so let's get to my five shows. Up first on my list.
First one is The Fall of the House of Usher, right?
Right, the first one. And then the next one is Life on Our Planet. No, the first one is, this is one that I might have stolen from Aaron, even though I didn't know I was stealing from Aaron. It is The Changeling. It actually premiered on September 8th. It's on Apple Plus. We're going to talk more about me and Apple Plus a little bit later. However, this is a beautiful, seems to be a very beautiful story that stars Lakeith Stanfield and Clark Bacco and a few other great people on it. And it is kind of like this urban fantasy fairy tale being told, and it deals with a little bit of horror, a little bit of romance, a little bit of everything. And I've watched three episodes so far, and this one is really exciting. It's got this really beautiful feel to it that I'm enjoying a lot.
Yeah, and I recommend don't read the description because the description will tell you kind of more than you probably want to know going in. There's a lot of surprises here.
Yeah, there definitely are. I tried to keep it as light as possible when it came to the description. So, but yeah, there's definitely some things in there that are I think are beautiful in what they're doing. And then following that up, we're going to do Gen V on Prime. This is going to be on a date that I didn't copy down because I'm a douchebag.
September 29th.
September 29th. That's what I said.
Mm-hmm.
It's a boys spinoff. It has, it's in that same universe. You have a freshman who can control blood and who is determined to become her first black woman to join the Seven. However, she soon discovers a sinister plot is afoot because of course it is, because this is a boys universe and we just can't have good things for people. I'm really excited about this one. How about you guys?
I think it's an interesting take, right? Because the boys was interesting because of the, what do you want to say, graphicness of it all. Because when you get the first like big body explosion all over the screen, you're, oh man, this is like so totally different and new and fresh and this is great. And we got three seasons of it now. And then you're at that point where it's like, and we got three seasons of it now. So really it should be winding down in two at the most. And now we're going to get a whole other 3 to 5 years of something that's very similar. So this is going to have to make me not think it's the CW version of The Boys. If it can do that, I think it'll be fine because I like The Boys universe. But if it goes anywhere near a CW type show, I'm out.
Yeah, that's where I get nervous about it. It does feel a little, okay, what are we trying to do here? Are we still The Boys or are we the kids? You know? But I'm intrigued. I mean, the idea of it really kind of runs close to Invincible in many ways. And I would say
right.
how it seems. It really seems like Invincible, the live action version. So I'm intrigued. The trailer makes it look really sound. I mean, in terms of there's a lot of it very much felt like The Boys. And I'm sure they're going to have cameos and whatnot. I think we saw one in the trailer that I won't give away. But I mean, there's something to be said. No Carl Urban, no Anthony Starr.
That you know of right now.
That you know of, but you'll probably get some cameos. So hopefully some of these actors kind of pop off the screen like those guys did. Because, you know, I knew who Carl Urban and Anthony Starr was. I didn't know if the world does.
Right.
I don't know how many people watch Banshee. I don't like five people. But, you know, and Carl Urban has kind of been the guy that no one recognized and everything he's ever done. So he's just the guy that kind of blends in as a great supporting character for the most part. So it's, you know, we'll see what happens. It's definitely something I will watch and I will give a chance to, though, for sure.
Yeah, I have to admit that when this was first announced, I rolled my eyes at the idea. Mm-hmm. But the trailer has really convinced me that it's something to be excited about. So I feel like I saw something in the trailer that told me that this is going to be a good sit. So that's why I'm excited for it.
It just goes back to the universe thing I said earlier. I'm tired of universes. I don't want to. I want to just watch one thing and be done when I'm done.
There is something good to be said about that. Following that, I have Murder at the End of the World. This is Hulu on November 14th. This is a mystery series. A reclusive billionaire invites a Gen Z amateur sleuth, a tech-savvy hacker, along with eight other guests to take part in a retreat in a remote location. When a guest is found dead, the young detective's skills are put to the test. Emma Corwin, Britt Marling, that's part of the reason why I'm really excited about this, and Harris Dickinson are all in this, and it looks really great.
Well, this one was actually on my list before Aaron actually did his thing. So technically, this is all three of our picks. Anything that is related to a mystery series, especially as we are on the eve of Hercule Poirot coming back out again. What can you say? Anything that is detective-based, Nancy Drew, murder mystery, like I'm all in for that stuff. And the fact that it's on Hulu, it'll be right there in line with all my other stuff that I'm going to talk about later.
Yeah. This is one where I was hooked because it's a murder mystery. So I immediately, you know, it doesn't take much to get my curiosity going, but that. And then I watched the trailer. The trailer is very, very unique. It's a little bit mysterious of it on its own. It really seems to be going for a different kind of vibe than your typical like Agatha Christie or typical murder mystery. It's almost a little artistic in some respects based on what I saw. So I'm very, very intrigued to see what that does.
That makes a lot of sense because this is written by Britt Marling and she is the creator of the show. So that's if it's anything like what the other stuff that she's done, I'm talking about the OA. That's why I'm excited. So if it's anything like that, I feel like it's going to be definitely a good sit. Following that, I have The Curse. Emma Stone and Nathan Fielder play a married couple on an HGTV style show where they flip houses in Española, New Mexico. And they don't like to call them gentrifiers, but they rather be called entrepreneurs. They start working on a house and something dark and crazy starts happening and interfering with all the work they are doing. It's kind of like a horror comedy series. The creators are pretty much known for doing stuff like this. What do you guys think about that?
It's a different twist. I mean, when you get to like spoof on stuff that we're all are kind of like tired of having the WB or Discovery Plus, whatever the hell their company is now, mm-hmm. shoving this kind of stuff down our throats. So to actually make fun of that type of genre, especially in a strike situation that we are currently right now, where there's going to be a lot of that reality type unscripted television that's going to be coming our way. I think this is a new twist and take on it that makes that kind of interesting to see what could happen if something like this happened in a real life situation.
It sounds interesting. I'll be honest. I don't know if I'm going to watch it. It's a comedy. It's half hour. It's not really my wheelhouse. So maybe if it gets great reviews, you guys tell me I should check it out. I'll probably check it out at some point, but I'm just not big on half hour comedies unless I know they're going to gel. I mean, Baller just came out on Netflix and I've literally wanted to watch that for, I don't know, 8 years, whenever that show started, you know, 2015, and never had because I don't really care about half hour comedies. So I just skipped it. Now it was on Netflix and I finally barreled through it, but it takes me a while is what I'm saying. I don't usually catch those when they first come out. I like what I like.
Yeah, I know. I know you do. All right. My last pick, and I can't believe that none of you guys picked this, although I would love to believe.
We knew you were going to pick it.
Right.
Yeah. Literally everyone remembered John will be on the podcast and we were unlike, I don't know, another dude. We're considerate of the others.
Is Fall of the House of Usher. No. Monarch Legacy of Monsters, also on Apple Plus. This is going to be November 17th. If you can't tell, I'm excited because this is a Godzilla show. Not really necessarily 100% Godzilla. The series picks up.
That motherfucker's in the trailer. I'm telling you right now, it's a Godzilla show.
It's a Godzilla show.
Right. Well, anyhow, it takes off in the wake of Godzilla's battle with the Titans, which leveled San Francisco. So this is right after the first Godzilla movie. And it is revealed that the world has monsters in it. Big shocker. All right, we meet two siblings investigating their father's connection to the government agency known as Monarch. Their discoveries lead them to an army officer. Lee Shaw is played by none other than Wyatt Russell in the past and Kurt Russell in the future.
My nipples.
Whose knowledge of Monarch could bring the whole organization down, spanning decades of generations. Monarch Legacy of Monsters promises earth-shattering secrets of a sci-fi drama and, of course, monstrous mayhem. Yeah! Can you give me more? I'm sorry.
Is the big secret that Monarch is the one that was responsible for making Mothra?
It's not a secret. Monarch is... They didn't make Mothra. Mothra was just there, man. But Monarch was the company behind it. I don't know why you're laughing. Is it funny?
They're
you're
both
very proud of yourself.
They're both butterflies.
My God.
He's patting himself pretty hard on the back over there. Oh, my God.
That dad joke was such a stretch. Is it sad that with all of that excitement that John has, I have way more about the fact that Kurt Russell and Wyatt Russell are playing them the same character over the span of time? Way more excited about that than any of the monsters that'll
show
up.
It's a great concept. It's really, brilliant. Really clever for them to put that and try to make that work.
Brilliant.
I think that's going to be the most interesting to see. It's almost
like Apple said, fuck you, nepotism. We're going to put them both in the same show.
How about that? I like it. Yeah, I like it. This is one of those things where I'm just so surprised because when I was going through a lot of my shows that even some of the ones I deleted off of my list because I was stealing them from other people apparently, a lot of my shows are Apple Plus, and like we've already talked about some of this, but it looks like I'll be canceling Disney Plus long before I can't cancel Apple Plus. And I never thought I'd say that out loud.
I want to go on record. If Kurt Russell gets eaten in this show, the anger I'm going to have is going to rival like Jets fans, you know, 5 minutes into the first quarter.
The only difference is it's not going to cost
11.
You.
It was 11 minutes.
Sorry, 11 minutes into the first quarter.
It's not going to cost you $73 million, though.
I don't know. It'll cost me a lot of pride. I can't have the Russell getting eaten. I just can't have it. Mm-mm. Good concept, though. Yeah, I'm intrigued to see that. That looks pretty cool. I'm trying to get away from cool, and I said it again. Shame on me. I'm going to do a shot every time I do that.
Well, the thing you know that for sure is that Wyatt won't get eaten because he's still alive in the future.
Wouldn't that be wild if he was? And then we have to spend like 8 episodes figuring out how the hell did he come back to life?
Does he get pooped out?
Does Jeff Goldblum find him? And he's like, oh, that's a big pile of shit. Ah, just do it in there.
I don't know why Jeff Goldblum's in here, but it's great.
Is that all you got? That's your 5?
That's my 5.
Troy, you're up.
Sounds good. Apparently, because we did this thing called the Blacklist for 10 years, we have some like, I don't know, residuals that we owe NBC or something.
No,
so,
we don't. I'm not watching any network shows, brother. None.
But this one I might actually pick up. It's called The Irrational, and it's because Jesse L. Martin, yes, that's right, of Rent fame on Broadway.
He's so good.
And a staple of the Law and Order franchise and a very great actor is getting...
Don't forget The Flash.
And The Flash.
Or you can.
He's getting his own show. This is the first time that Jesse has had his own show.
Go Jesse.
In a 3-decade TV career.
Nice. So, who's writing it?
That I don't know.
Jesse L. Martin.
see the writer and the director and the actor.
It seems like that's the case these days.
They had to. This must have been filmed as like a mid-season thing or something and filmed a while ago.
Probably. Okay. And then they held it and then the summer happened and they held it again. And they were like, hey, we need to keep content on the shelves for later because we might not have any.
All right. What is it?
John guy has really figured out our plan here.
It's an offbeat crime solver. He plays a behavioral scientist whose quirky team tackles illogical puzzles and perplexing mysteries. So it's not your typical crime show, but it's a crime show nonetheless.
That sounds like a... Wasn't there a CBS show that had something like that a few years back?
The Mentalist?
No. No. It was like a team. Psych. No.
Bones?
No. It was a team. It was
Scorpion?
Like a CBS. Yes, Scorpion.
Yes,
that's the
Scorpion.
One.
Yeah. Kind of like that, probably.
Yeah.
But it'll be out September 25th, so definitely check out Jesse L. Martin in his first TV show as a lead.
You know, I'm not going to lie. I got really excited when I saw this, and I almost stole it for my list because Jesse L. Martin's
for your list.
I did. Yeah. Jesse L. Martin's great. The trailer for it is actually pretty good, and I really just dug the concept because I wanted to give Jesse L. Martin a chance. I was interested for sure.
Yeah, I got to say, man, he is a bright spot wherever he lands. So it's about time he got... I mean, I guess he was a lead on Law & Order, but does that count? Because it's really more of an ensemble
show.
It's
really an ensemble cast.
Yeah. Right.
Yeah.
But here he gets to be his own character, and that's awesome. Good for him.
Well, keep it on the NBC train that's going to come right on the heels of Irrational is Found. Shanola Hampton of Shameless fame stars as a public relations expert who looks for missing persons of color in NBC's second new series about an unconventional crime-solving team. So if you are not a fan of the Dick Wolf saga, you can just go ahead and swing over to the new crime team that's going to be coming out on NBC. This one will air on October 3rd.
Do we want to time it till somebody goes, go woke, go broke? Do we? And then we just conveniently ignore the raging success that Barbie was?
Exactly.
Right. Are we talking about a listener saying that to us? What?
No, I meant no. I don't say it to us because I'm going to ignore it.
No, the fact that it's specifically media. About persons of color.
Yeah.
And they're leading into the persons of color, you know.
Yeah, I had somebody tell me today that they were canceling Netflix. And they took a picture of them canceling and asked why you're canceling. And they said, go woke, go broke. And I'm just like, you're way too proud of this idiocracy. You just are.
Either you like the show or you don't like the show. Just watch it or don't watch it. You don't
culture
have to put in any commentary about it.
Right. Everybody's got some weird culture wars. Let's just like things or not like things.
Much on the heels of John's cancellation of Disney Plus, I will be on the same bandwagon because I can watch the NBC on the Peacock, and then I can switch over to Apple TV Plus on October 13th for Lessons in Chemistry, where Apple has shown a taste for shows with a nostalgic flavor, whether or not they are set in the past or in the future or what have you. Things like Hello Tomorrow, Physical, and The Morning Show. Does anybody remember that Morning Show actually comes out this week for the third season? Okay, anyway. But Brie Larson is going to be in this one.
Isn't there a whole part of the show where you could have brought this up?
Maybe. Maybe. Oh, do we do that part?
Maybe. Yeah, there's like a returning show part of the show that we're on.
Well, yeah, no one cares about The Morning Show anyway.
You used to talk about it all the time.
I know. It's been gone for so long that no one cares anymore.
All right, Brie Larson.
Brie Larson, who people may still care about because she's got a movie coming out, maybe if it doesn't get pushed into some other future year later this year, listen next week. She stars as one of the women in the 1950s who channels her skills as a scientist into hosting a cooking show. That's right. We are going to talk about how food is genetically engineered with Brie Larson.
This one's actually on my honorable mention list because I looking at the concept, I thought it was interesting. There's a lot of social commentary that's happening with it as far as the 1950s and where women belong and that sort of thing. I can't believe I just strung that sentence together, but okay, let's make sure that nobody's heard it.
Yeah, can't wait till you hear it yourself.
But Brie Larson looks really charming in this, which it looks like she's trying to be a lot more charming lately. So I want to see how she does.
She's trying to be a lot more charming lately. Stop looking like she's mad at everything.
Yeah, you know.
Okay.
I don't know why she can't smile. I'm just going to go away now.
Well, and another show that John will have to bite his tongue for some comedy he's going to make when I'm done talking about it on November 8th, also on Apple TV Plus that John will be watching. The Buccaneers is a group of fun-loving young American girls exploding into the tightly corseted London season of the 1870s. According to the press release, it sounds like a cross between Downton Abbey and a reality dating competition. Never mind that it's actually based on a novel that is still being written. Hello, George R.R. Martin. Is that done yet? You and Edith hooking up? I don't understand what's going on.
I don't have
any
interest in this one at all. So if John does, please, actually don't say anything. I'd probably be better if you just didn't talk. You'd be like, 17th century, are they in the kitchen? Huh?
I mean, of course, it's just a lot of work to take off. Yeah, I'm not really interested at all.
I think it'll be fun just to see like what they do as far as like making a dating game in the 1870s. I think it'll be an interesting spin to give it an episode or two.
Okay. What else? Is that it?
And then the surprising twist of the podcast, everyone. Mm-hmm. Over on this company with a letter N on their logo, Netflix, on October 25th, I'm actually going to be looking at Life on Our Planet. Yes, the creators of British series like Planet Earth and Our Planet are going to join forces with ILM, that's Industrial Light and Magic, for those that don't know, and Steven Spielberg for a natural history series about the ebb and flow of the life across the eons. Not centuries, not millennia, the eons, which provides copious opportunities for animating the 99% of Earth that we know nothing about.
Okay, I'm fascinated by that.
Yeah.
Super fascinated.
That's going to be some 4K television right there.
Yeah, definitely. This is going to be also one of those things where people are like, oh my God, they're talking about creation and how it's evolution, and I can't go woke or broke, you people.
Flat Earth.
All of that is probably going to be shown.
Have flat earthers ever like just gone on a boat ride? It's just a question I have. Somebody keeps telling me that there's a lot of them out there. I can't imagine there's a lot of them out there. You think there's a lot of them out there?
I don't know.
Well, I sure hope they don't show the round earth in this show because it sounds like it would be fascinating.
Well, it's going to be AI, so they can make it whatever they want. So
they should make a rectangle and just blow everybody's minds. Or a triangle?
Whoa.
Whoa, that's heavy. All right, well, my
Antarctica
list...
Antarctica is just a pancake, is what you're saying? My mind is just like, right now.
I doubt it is. It's probably just because you realize how many shows John stole from you. All right, so we're going on to my list. My first one, The Continental from the world of John Wick, comes to Peacock September 22nd. It's single-handedly keeping my Peacock subscription intact. This is a three-part streaming prequel series, which migrated from Stars to Peacock. It was originally supposed to be more episodes. Then it ended up being like... 3 2-hour movies. I believe they're each episode's going to be like 2 hours. It's going to explore the origin behind the iconic Hotel for Assassin centerpiece of the John Wick universe through the eyes and actions of a young Winston Scott as he's dragged into the hellscape of a 1970s New York City to face a past he thought he'd left behind. Stars Mel Gibson and a lot of other actors you might not be familiar with, but I gotta say, this looks kick ass. It doesn't look like it's losing any of the fighting gung fu that we're excited about from the John Wick series. I mean, it seems like it keeps that energy up. It's really just go, 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 go. And I can't wait to see it. I'm really excited to see what they do with it.
This is the thing that's keeping your Peacock subscription?
Yeah. Otherwise, they'd cancel and come back when Poker Face Season 2 comes out.
There was this whole thing called the NFL kickoff weekend and Sunday Night Football that doesn't keep your subscription going.
I can watch that on TV.
All right. Some of us don't have TV. That's why we need the Peacock subscription to watch it on Sunday Night Football.
Fair point. Fair point. Did watch based on a true story, though. That was good. Yeah. So
it does look really good. I mean, it doesn't look like it misses a beat at all from the movies. This is a part of the universe that I actually would like to see. This is a universe show that I think is beneficial.
They've done enough good work with world building in those movies to really create this extended universe. They've got Ballerina coming out next summer with Ana de Armas. So there's a lot that they're trying to do with John Wick. I don't know if we'll ever get a John Wick 5 or that we even need one, but we are going to get more of this world.
Because that's what we need is more stairs.
It's a universe where I'm actually interested in it.
I'll give it a chance, at least an episode or two. For whatever reason, it's not really lighting my fire, but I'm sure it's going to be one of those things where I'll start watching it and I'll get really into it because of how well they carry through their beats like they do in the movies. So, yeah.
Not beats. I get it. Beats.
God damn it. You know, you had the stairs, then you got the beats. You just got to get them in there, don't you? The hits just keep on coming.
Hopefully.
Buddy,
we call that a callback.
What up? All right, Wilderness. When Liv and Will appear to have a glamorous, solid marriage and life in New York, that all changes when she learns he's having an affair. What? He convinces her to take her dream road trip, trying to make amends. She agrees, seeing it as a very different prospect, a landscape where accidents happen all the time and the perfect place to get revenge. That's right, this shit is going dark. Stars Jenna Coleman and Eric Balfour. It comes to Amazon Prime Video September 15th. I just find this whole concept very fascinating, and I love the idea of anything woodsy. I'm a woodsy guy.
Yeah, I'm really excited for this one to be coming out. I love Jenna Coleman. I want to see her do more things, so I'm in for it.
Yeah. I'll wait for Aaron's assessment.
You know, Aaron says Justified is really good.
I heard that. It's a great show.
You've watched some of it, though, now.
I have. I've watched 3 episodes.
You haven't gone any further than that, though. You stopped.
I haven't had time.
This is the guy who will tell me, I didn't have time. Oh, what'd you do this weekend? Oh, I watched like 16 hours of football, and I watched 3 whole series that I've been meaning to get to. But Justified, man, it's like 45 minutes. That's so long.
I also finished building a Pac-Man Lego machine.
My God, your nerd card. How big is it? Is it, is it the size of a door?
Look, it's very clear that if the women want a husband, John, right? John checks off all 4 of these boxes, right? Owns a lightsaber, bought a Wizarding World at Harry Potter, plays Monopoly.
No, I don't.
You know. Well, that's why you don't have a girlfriend then, John. Sorry.
Wait, these are things you think a wife would want?
Yes, because those are those things.
Your wife, maybe.
The geek things are husband material.
Okay, playing Monopoly usually ends most families, number one. All right. It doesn't really bring anybody together. And I'm sure it's not good for the marriage. Lightsaber sounds like I'm encouraging being welded in my sleep. Yeah. Legos, maybe. I mean, if they're willing to put in the time to do Legos with you, then they obviously like you to some degree. But I don't think your marriage advice is sound.
You know, most of his advice when it comes to this is not.
That's why John just drones on and on and on.
All right. Next show. The Other Black Girl. This drama is based on Zakiya Delia Harris's novel, follows an editorial assistant, Nella, the only young black woman at her company who finds comfort when it finally changes. However, upon meeting Hazel, she quickly realizes something sinister is going on at the company. Comes out on Hulu September 13th, and it just sounds kind of intriguing, and if you really look into it, It's a fascinating concept.
Yeah, new concepts I'm all about. Like, this sounds like something that hasn't been done before. And if it has technically been done before, it hasn't been done on Hulu, and it hasn't been done in this way. So I'm all about it from that perspective.
Yep. Sounds really good to me, too. I'm in.
Next up, this is intriguing. Percy Jackson and the Olympians. December 20th, Disney Plus. 12-year-old modern demigod Percy Jackson is coming to terms with his newfound divine powers when the sky god Zeus accuses him of stealing his master lightning bolt with his friend's help. Percy must restore order to Olympus. This is a reinvention of that whole character, because remember, I think they had, what, two movies that just didn't catch fire? This is Disney saying, let's take it to TV and let's see what happens. And I'm intrigued. I'm very intrigued because the books are actually really sound. That's the third time I've used that.
The movies aren't that bad either.
No, the movies aren't bad. The character is really interesting. And it's a good family-friendly property. The only thing that concerns me is the Willow effect, right? Willow should have been great. And it was really along the same lines, where it was this family-friendly film series that became a TV series. Granted, they were going more for nostalgia than this one is. But on the same token, it just makes me a little nervous and hesitant that what happens if this thing doesn't get, bam, the viewership it needs to get. Does Disney just rip it off its service again? What happens?
Well, that's what they've already canceled several shows that were in the about to be released. The Spiderwick Chronicles, I think, is one of them.
Yeah, that's gone.
And it hasn't even been released yet, but they've already canceled it. I think there was one other show that I can't remember. But the fact that they're doing this, these big shows that they have been pumping out there, ready to go, and they're just like, nah.
It's wild. It's wild that they spent all this money.
It's the gamble you take.
Right.
It is, sure.
Yeah, at least Rings of Power, where yes, it's like coming off of content that is out there and is written, but not necessarily in a way that would be considered like readable material for an easy person to, you know, go through.
That's a nice way to call somebody stupid.
Yeah.
No, really, it's just, it really was. The Cimmerillion is not something you pick up and go like, I'm going to read this on the shitter. Okay. It is a complex book of work.
Challenge accepted.
But I mean, they're making something of that and putting it into a visual medium, which I think is an undertaking of itself, but you have to commit to it full on to say, even if it's bad, we're just going to go with it and put it out there film the whole thing.
Yeah. And right? Cue to 2 weeks from now when the whole chat's going to be blown up with John's pictures of him reading that, and guess where he's going to be reading it at.
Exactly right.
Well, yeah, 2 weeks from now, I'll probably have my, not my Nook, the other one.
Kindle?
My Kindle by then. And I'll definitely be doing that, because I'll go and put my dyslexia font on it so I can read shit.
Remind me never to borrow your Kindle, just so.
Right. Read shit was probably the wrong thing to say at that moment. Just.
Or?
Yeah.
Apropos.
But they'd really have to do something great for season two of that show, because season two of Wheel of Time is coming out swinging.
I've heard that was
after Wheel of Time season one, with the really bad CGI effects that made it very difficult to watch.
Oh, it's got a great story to it. And then season two is they've actually put more money into it for season two.
I have to back John up. I haven't seen it, but I felt the same way as you, Trey, about that. I'm like, this should have been a great show. Why didn't it look like Game of Thrones? It doesn't make sense.
Right.
And I've heard the reviews are saying that season two corrects a lot of those mistakes. I don't. Mm-hmm. All right. Is that true, John?
That is true. You believe it? Okay. Yeah, I believe it.
You might get me to check it out again. I liked overall the show, but the CGI was bad.
I mean, Wheel of Time is like a big thing. It's almost like right behind Tolkien.
It
is. Pump the brakes. Go look it up on the internet. I'm telling you, Wheel of Time is a big popular thing.
It is popular, but not that close to Tolkien.
From your nerd marriage class, apparently.
Nerd marriage class.
All right, my last one on new shows is Goosebumps, which comes out October 13th. First five episodes debuts. Inspired by the best-selling book series by R.L. Stine, the series follows a group of five high schoolers in the small town of Port Lawrence as they unearth dark secrets linked to the tragic passing of a teen boy named Harold Biddle 3 decades earlier. The reason why I'm excited about this is it's a nostalgia thing. I love the Goosebumps series as a kid, or when my kids were kids, I should say. And it was one of those things where it was fun to read with them, you know, to really just see their engagement with kind of horror, but also family friendly. And I'm looking forward to seeing something like that on Disney Plus. So it's intriguing to me, even if I don't have kids to watch it with.
I am not interested.
Didn't ask you.
All right, fine.
You won't take the original away from me. Sorry.
No. Well, this is, I think, trying to do more of a streamlined story over the course of a season two, as opposed to like, it doesn't feel like it's going to be a anthology. Do you care?
No.
Not for you, huh?
Well, also, John and I canceled Disney Plus, so.
Right.
Well, you know what is for you? Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles. And you can get Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles Mutant Mayhem on digital today, right now. After years of hiding, the Turtle Brothers set out to gain acceptance as normal teenagers and take on an army of mutants in this hilarious action-packed adventure. You can buy or rent Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles Mutant Mayhem on digital today and get over 40 minutes of bonus content when you buy it on digital. It's available at all participating retailers. It's rated PG from Paramount Pictures. This was a surprise hit. I know when it first came out, the animation style kind of put me back. But after watching the film, I got to say, it actually is very, very creative and clever. So it's worth checking out if you have not seen it.
It's fantastic. I was super, super excited to see it, and it did not disappoint. I would say I even went to a video game arcade and played the original Ninja Turtles arcade version with some friends after we watched it because it was just that much fun to go back and visit Turtles again.
Oh, that's fun. Took you back to your youth. And we've got some codes to give away. So, hey, if you're a listener to the show, you want to take a chance to win a code for Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles, you can send an email to contests@thehollywoodoutsider.com. That's contests@thehollywoodoutsider.com. with the subject line TMNT, and put down your name and favorite turtle.
Disappointed. TMNT? Turtle power?
Okay. Subject line turtle power. We're changing it on the fly. How about that? Nerd.
Just makes you want to sing the song every time you hear it, right?
It does.
Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles.
All right. Any honorable mentions, the shows we haven't already talked about, you want to mention before we move on?
Sure. I saw this one come up and I was like, this one might be interesting. Also on Apple TV Plus, shocker, is The Supermodels, Naomi Campbell, Cindy Crawford, Linda Evangelista, Christine Turlington. They are executive producers of a documentary series about their 1990s heyday, which promises to be as luxurious as the goods they actually modeled.
You want to watch this?
I'm all about 90s history. I think I have a podcast I listen to called The History of the 90s. I think the 90s was a fascinating decade because it's when I came into my prime.
This is
right up my alley. I would absolutely watch a documentary about anything 90s related.
My wife is going to be all over this.
All over it.
Yeah, all over it.
I just really love the whole, you want to watch this?
It just kind of surprises me, that's all.
I'll also watch over on Paramount Plus, Bargain, which is the storyline of a Korean series that is involving an organ auction. Yes, that's right, organs in a remote location, and an earthquake carries some Squid Game vibes for this one. So get the Korean series going again. It's going to be interesting.
Yeah, that sounds interesting. I'm in. That one sounds fascinating. Way better than Supermodels.
Right.
I mean, what's their superpower? They're pretty. They're just pretty.
The supermodels, not supermodels, the supermodels.
What's the difference?
Because it's these people specifically.
Okay.
The.
Okay. Fair enough. That's their talent. We were born hot. Yay. I don't really need to watch a documentary on that. But Bargain sounds good. John, did you have anything before I throw out mine?
You sound bitter.
Okay, we're moving on then. Lawman, Bass Reeves on Paramount Plus starting November 5th. Federal Peace Officer Bass Reeves, played by David Oyelowo, is known as the greatest frontier hero in American history. The anthology series will bring legendary lawmen and outlaws of the Wild West to life. So it's not going to be just Bass Reeves. It's going to be other characters as well. But also co-starring in this, Barry Pepper, Donald Sutherland, Dennis Quaid. It's just, I really like all these Yellowstone spinoffs, which is surprising because I don't like Yellowstone. But I've liked every one of the spinoffs. I'm in. And that's what it is. It's a spinoff of Yellowstone.
Sometimes you need to pave the way for much better things to come after it.
Sure. And the other thing I want to mention, Fairway Downs comes to Hulu in November. Did you guys ever watch that movie Australia with Hugh Jackman and Nicole Kidman from 2008?
No.
Well, this is a 6-episode limited series reimagined from Baz Luhrmann's 2008 film Australia, comprised of all the footage that was captured for the movie and an expanded version of the story with a new ending. So it's the movie. It's kind of like what Tarantino did with The Hateful Eight on Netflix, where he expanded it into an episodic, only fluffing the story up a little bit and changing how it ended, because the ending was a little weird in the movie. And I'm intrigued. And that's coming to Hulu in November.
I'm intrigued because it's an art form choice.
Mm-hmm. And it's got Hugh Jackman. You can't go wrong with Hugh Jackman as far as I'm concerned.
It's a true statement.
All right. Any returning shows you're excited about? Go ahead. What's coming back that you want to see?
I mean, The Morning Show's back.
You literally just said earlier, I don't want to see that. I'm done with it. I've moved on. I'm on the evening show now.
No, the one that I am super awesome is coming back is one of the Apple TV Plus original series, For All Mankind. That started along with The Morning Show. It is the space one. And this time, it is now moving forward in the space race, because you didn't see the North Korean thing coming in the show, did you? Oh, Mankind jumps ahead yet another decade. It jumps ahead another decade for its fourth season, with international partners uneasily working together to mine asteroids in the year 2003.
Can I tell you something? Since you're a big fan of that whole genre, space and stuff.
The Final
Frontier. There's a movie that I just reviewed on, you can find it on the website, thehollywoodoutsider.com. But it comes out on the 15th of September. So it'll be out pretty close to when you listen to this, if not when you listen to this, on Amazon Prime Video, called A Million Miles Away. And it's Michael Pena starring as Jose Hernandez, who's the first immigrant to go to space. And it kind of shows all the things. He spent decades working to try to get to space. And it's all about how his family supported him and what he had to give up and, you know, like what it entailed to actually get into the space program. And it's just a really fascinating story that I think if you like this kind of story, you might enjoy.
Yeah. Yeah. For All Mankind has been fun because it's a what if show. Like, what if this happened? What if this happened? And as they're exploring the space race, if these things would have happened, would these things like mining asteroids be possible by the year 2003? So as the fourth season is going to showcase.
Okay, so I thought the whole thing was just like basically a docudrama on the actual space race. This is actually goes in the what if scenario.
This would be like Man in the High Castle.
Oh. Like
if the Germans won World War II, what would happen? So this was if the Russians got to the moon first, what would happen?
Okay,
so
now
it's very documentarian of the people that were involved, like, you know, Buzz Aldrin and Gene and all those guys from the original grouping. But then it's also about, like, how do we get women to be the first thing? Because the Russians got to the moon first in the show in the first season, the U.S. pivoted and said, okay, well, we're going to be the first woman on the moon. And that's how we're going to claim to fame. And then that was kind of the whole first season. And then it went from there. So
speaking of Man in the High Castle, did that end well?
Yes.
Yes.
I've never watched that show, and I keep meaning to.
Well.
Oh, boy.
Well.
There's a well.
Should have just stuck with a yes.
Just go with the yes.
The penultimate episode is probably some of the best TV you'll ever see. How it actually ends, your mileage may vary because of what you may or may not believe of what's happening.
It doesn't like pretend like all this. It wasn't a dream, right?
No, it's not that.
Oh, it's definitely not a dream.
Okay.
Yeah. Definitely not a dream.
All right. It's a fascinating concept, so I'm going
to It's pretty cool.
All right, what else you got,
I will say that there are points in The Man in the High Castle where you might be like,
Troy, okay, we need to talk. You can't be wishy-washy with Aaron on anything you're trying to let him know if he... As soon as you get wishy-washy, whether you liked it or not... No, this is wishy-washy. Whether you liked it or not, if you get wishy-washy with what you're saying to Aaron, he taps out real fucking fast.
This is not a wishy-washy thing.
I don't
know
how you don't know this. I don't know how you don't understand this, but he will tap out if you don't use direct terms. But as soon as you start going, well, all right, he starts going, oh, you didn't really like it. And that's all he thinks about.
No, yeah,
it's like going to a car lot, man. Just sell me on the high points. I'll figure out the rest.
Right.
The high points are that the show is so well done that at some points in the show, you're like, you know, the Nazis might have had some really good ideas.
No, no, I will not, Troy. No, I will not. That never will happen to me.
In the engineering space, not in the people space.
What the frack is happening?
I'm saying there were some, because of what, how the, you know, because if they win and the land that they conquer and the things that they do, minus the eradication of people part of the engineering concepts that they were thinking about as far as what to do with the land that they owned, I thought was a very interesting thing that they came up with.
You know what?
As energy goes.
White people had a lot of entertaining engineering ideas too, and they totally shit all over Native Americans. So yeah. I have no doubt that that's
possible. See what you did, Troy? You see what you did? This is where we're at because you didn't know where to stop.
I wasn't going to watch it anyway.
I was thinking about it. I'm curious about the idea. Like, what kind of horrible world would it be? And I'm curious what the show would depict.
Horrible worlds.
Okay, worlds.
Okay, whatever. Stop, Troy.
Another one I had was Wolf Like Me. It's an Australian dark comedy. It's a mix of rom-com and broken family drama in which one character's being a werewolf is both the classic impediment to true love an all-purpose allegory of the need of safety in relationships. Its first season was kind of slightly amusing and sometimes actually moving. So definitely check it out over on the Peacock, October 19th.
That's the second season. Is that actually a good show? I've heard about this.
I really liked the first season a lot. It's got a lot of heart to it, and it was really a beautifully done show. It really surprising as well. I am surprised that we are like 4 years, 5 years after the first season comes out, we're finally getting a second season or something to that effect. Because I remember it was pre-pandemic when this came out. So
no, it wasn't. It was 2022.
No, it wasn't.
January 13th, 2022. Sure was.
When it aired here,
yeah.
It was January.
Yeah, 2022, which is a year ago, year and a half ago.
Which version of Wolf Like Me are we watching?
Josh Gad and Isla Fisher.
I must be taking crazy pills because I seem to remember that I was at my old house when I watched this.
I'm literally verifying January 2022.
Yeah, I'm seeing it too. I'm probably conflating memories. Okay, so yeah, anyhow. Maybe it just felt like forever ago, but still, really good show. I really enjoyed it.
Well, so telling 2022 is still the pandemic.
Sure.
It wasn't declared over until later after this had done being aired.
Nobody cares. Let's move on. John, what do you got?
I got season 2 of Bosch Legacy on Freevee. And this looks good, great. It is going to be premiering on October 20th. It's going to be more adventures of Hieronymus Bosch and his daughter. And as he works with Honey Chandler, who used to be his nemesis on the show. Now they're working together on doing these sorts of investigations. I don't know what it is I like about the show, but I just really enjoy the whole feeling to it. It's very much light TV with a little bit of a twist to it. So, yeah, that's what I'm excited about.
Okay, I'm just going to tell you right now, it's not light TV because that last season ended with like a hell of a cliffhanger. And, you know, him and his daughter are very close. And that was a hard episode to watch. And so I saw the trailer for this new season, which picks up right where that left off. It's basically him trying to find his daughter before something maybe may or may not happen to her. And I was already I'm ready for him to just beat some heads.
Well, you know he's going to.
He's not a cop anymore. He didn't, right. You know, he's a pretty by the book guy, but for the most part. But now that he's free from the badge, he can do whatever he wants. You know, it's one of those things. So he's a full on anti-hero.
Right.
I just wish he would wear shirts that fit him.
I wish he would wear anything that actually fit him.
Yeah, I really would. Or he get always, something a little looser, man.
He always runs around, looks like he's wearing his dad's clothes.
He does. His dad's clothes from the garage.
Yeah.
You know? Like, come on, man. How tough is it out there?
All right, I know Troy doesn't care about it, so I'm going to move right along. And also, well, technically also on Prime, on November 3rd, Invincible Season 2. Now, this is about time.
Yeah, I'm surprisingly excited about that. You know, longtime listeners know I don't like animation, right?
Right.
But cartoons in particular, I do like Pixar. This is a cartoon that I really dug. And probably because it's foul-mouthed and bloody and But it was just, it's one where they finally, John finally convinced me to watch a couple episodes and I barreled through it.
Yep.
So it's well worth the.
This one was one of those ones I had to make sure you watched because I knew it was right up your alley and I wasn't going to let you not watch this one. So it is a great show if you haven't sat down for the first season. They do, it is really bloody. It is really intense as far as the action is concerned, but they do find a way to mix a lot of heart into it as well. So it has a lot of good feelings that go along with it as well as some sad feelings. So please do give the show a chance. It's really worth it.
And it's Bob Kirkman. For Walking Dead fans.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
Do you know him?
Yeah, he's friends with him. That's who he was talking about at the beginning of the show.
That's your friend. You know, Bob that's Kirkman. You couldn't just say Robert mm-hmm. Kirkman because that's what he actually is billed as, Robert Kirkman. You and him are in terms of Bob.
I feel like you're just being like you're just smacking Troy in the face and if you didn't do anything.
I was just trying to be casual in the conversation, that's all.
He was just trying to talk, man.
I just hate the word Bob.
Obviously, I didn't know it was a trigger for you.
It's a trigger. All right.
I'm excited for Upload, Amazon Prime on October 20th.
I'm shocked at this. Seriously? Did season two really actually finish in a good place?
Yes. I like this show. I don't like half hour fucking comedies, and I really dig this show.
I don't remember who got who to watch the show either. Who was it? Me getting?
I think I suggested it to you.
I loved the first season. I could not get past the first two episodes of the second season.
Well, that's because you're Troy and you're a terrible human being.
Or you didn't dig it. It's fine. But I definitely recommend that you go back and check it out.
I'll go back.
It's definitely worth it.
Justified will have to wait another week.
Son of a bitch.
Wow.
Well, if you don't know what it is, Greg Daniels' futuristic comedy explores a world in which humans can live in a virtual reality afterlife if you can afford the hefty price tag of the experience. Stars Robbie Amell and Andy Allo, who is absolutely adorable. And they return as Nathan and Nora, who continue their romantic relationship amid a myriad of obstacles. There's so much cool stuff in this show. I find it just very clever, very creative, very unique, and it's worth a watch.
I second it.
Now, my most anticipated show of the whole year comes out in December.
Wait. Nobody's going to be surprised on this one.
Yes, they are.
No, they're not.
Wow. Totally.
No, way to dick it up. Reacher, season 2.
Oh, yes. Not surprised.
No. Mm-mm. Reacher season 2. Oh boy. Let's just reflect on when Alan Ritchson came by and did an interview with us, and it's on YouTube, and it's just, you know, he and I talking, and it's really wonderful. And it's like,
when are you and Alan going out and getting some Starbies?
And then he invited me.
I was just going to ask that question. Like, you make fun of my friend Bob, and then you won't actually talk about him and his like bromance with Alan.
I might show up for Starbies with Alan, man. He's awesome.
Starbies?
Yeah.
What's Starbies?
Starbucks.
Oh, okay. I mean, he's a delightful fella. And now he's blowing up. He's everywhere.
Yeah, he really is. I'm excited for him.
His movie looks good, too. Ordinary Angels. But yep. We'll talk about that next week.
Yep. I'm really excited for this season. I am excited for more Reacher. I mean, we can do Starbies or we can do Donkeys. I actually lean more towards Donkeys.
Not invited, buddy. Just me and him. All right, so season 2 is based on the 11th Jack Reacher novel. And that's the cool thing. If you've ever read them, they're interchangeable because they're all independent novels. Like, they're not sequential. It's not, you don't have to watch them or read them in any order. You just pick one up and go. But it's based off of 2009's Bad Luck and Trouble, which finds Reacher pulled out of his wandering life and plunged into the heart of a conspiracy that is killing his old friends and the people he once trusted with his life. And of course, we're going to get Neely back. And there's a lot more that goes to that, but I don't want to elaborate on that because I just want you to experience the story as it is, because I know the book and it's a great book. Not the one I would have picked, but I'm also, you know, not a writer on the show. So Alan didn't take my calls on the concept. So I can't wait. I think this ended up being one of Prime Video's biggest TV shows ever, which was insane to me. But I'm so glad it found an audience because it was a great first season. If you haven't watched it yet, watch it. I'm really hoping they build the series like the books are, where you can pick up and watch any season whenever you want and in any order, and it works. That would be fantastic.
I've probably watched the first season 10 times.
Really?
Yeah.
That's cool, man.
Yeah, I've probably I've pulled it up on road trips so that I can have some, you know, me and Alan time, because, you know, you seem to be taking him all for yourself. That's all right. You and him can go to Starbucks. Me and him can go to Dunkies. That's all right. We got it.
I don't think these are real terms. I've never ever heard this or called them this.
Troy knew what Starbucks was right away. And
I thought it was Arby's and you were just like saying it wrong.
No, it was Starbucks. And then Dunkies has been around for a while.
God, I'm just, I guess, old. I don't know.
But you're also in the Midwest, so you don't do Dunkies. You guys are more Starbucks people.
That's correct. But hey, that's it with TV. We are done with this episode.
Oh, thank God.
I want to thank everybody for putting up with this bullshit.
Wait for a minute. Over an hour. We forgot something. Like, Amanda has a couple of shows that she's waiting to, she's excited about.
Oh, well, Amanda should have been here.
That's true.
Yeah, fuck off, Amanda. She should have been here. Wow, that was not necessary.
She's so unnecessary.
Excited for Loki season 2. Don't care. American Horror Story Delicate. Yeah, I'm not watching Kim Kardashian.
Yeah.
And Sex Education.
That I'm excited about. However,
I was going to say, I was surprised John didn't mention it and steal it from Amanda.
Well, I haven't watched the third season yet, so.
Well, you got all this time, jackass. Why don't you catch up?
I that's one of those ones that gives me weird feelings to watch right now. So I gotta give it a break.
Okay. Does that have Emma Mackey in it?
Yes, it does.
The one that looks like
Bargain Margot Robbie, yes.
Yeah, and then she's in the Barbie movie next to Margot Robbie.
Does she look even more like Bargain Margot Robbie?
I don't think that's a fair assessment of her talents, but a little bit, yeah.
That's a terrible thing to say, and actually, I don't like the idea.
She doesn't listen to the show.
Yeah, okay. Well, it's still terrible because I don't like the comparison of like saying somebody looks like. It's like saying that Troy looks like a bargain version of Aaron, and that's not fair to either one of them.
I mean, when you got the truth, man, you just roll with it. You know what I'm saying.
Oh, I totally forgot in the shows that we should be excited for coming back. That just this past Sunday was the premiere of Walking Dead, Daryl Dixon.
Yeah, and reviews are really good to this thing.
They're really good.
I have not watched it, but it's Daryl ends up in France, right? He just washed ashore in France, and now he's trying to guard a little
girl. And the show
is
basically going to explain how he ended up in France.
And reviews are very good for a Walking Dead show.
And how a certain person may find him in France.
I think we know who that probably will be.
Yeah, if you're a Walking Dead fan, you'll figure that one out pretty easily.
I rewatched Blade, the second one, Blade 2, where is one of the first times we meet Norman Reedus. And I suddenly remembered exactly why this is really the only role of his that's really taken off.
Why is that?
Because he's not good.
Damn. All right, well, that's going to do it for this episode. Norman Reedus and friends. Share your thoughts on this episode or anything else in our Facebook group, or we're on Twitter at @BuyPopcorn. We're on Threads at The Hollywood Outsider. And we just joined Blue Sky, but I haven't really done much with that yet. But rate and subscribe us on your preferred podcast app, and we're out of here. Thank you, everybody, for listening. Remember, the next time you head to the theater or sit comfortably on your couch watching all the TV you can, buy popcorn.
That's okay. Me and Alan are at Dunkies, and Norman can come at me all he wants. I got Alan with me.
Norman apparently can beat the shit out of anything with an arrow or whatever he's got going on. Isn't that what makes him tough?
Yeah, but Alan...
He's Hawkeye?
No, it's just the brooding stare.
It's just the brooding stare, right.
He just looks at him. And Alan Richardson just leaves because he didn't want to mess with his dirty-ass hair.
Right.
Has he washed his hair in any of that show?
No.
You know, I bet you if he would just cut it short, he'd probably be a very handsome guy.
It would probably be argued by a lot of people that he is a handsome guy.
If you don't like bathing, sure.
Well, I mean, I'm not here to judge.
I'm not here to judge. Just saying, wash your hair.
Come on, dog.
What?